I love words. I love word origins, derivations, etymologies so much they practically become holy scripture for me. So I want to share a word etymology that gave me chills the first time I heard it. In an essay on hospitality, Catholic theologian Ana Maria Pineda wrote, "One New Testament word incorporates a profound truth. Xenos, the word that means stranger in Greek, also means guest and host. This one word signals the essential mutuality that is at the heart of hospitality. No one is strange except in relation to someone else. We make one another guests and hosts by how we treat each other." There is a reason that practices like hospitality and generosity lie at the core of the religious and spiritual life in so many traditions, and especially so in the Judeo-Christian Islamic desert traditions where our deepest roots lie. Hospitality and generosity are about the other, reaching out to others, giving of yourself to others. Yet the ultimate goal of both is your own growth and depth of connection. It is the human condition to feel like a stranger, left out and lonely. We all feel that way, at least some of the time, which is why it is so powerful to find a community like this one where you can truly belong. It is part of the basic covenant and purpose of this church to be such a home, such a beloved community, to welcome people who are yearning for connection, wanting to link life with life, lonely and desiring companions, vulnerable and still wanting to be touched, lost and aching to be found, to give them gracious space to sing, to speak, to dance, to leave and return again. It starts with a recognition of that essential, existential loneliness we feel. It starts with a recognition of our own vulnerability. In their book, Radical Hospitality, Benedict's Way of Love, Daniel Holman and Lonnie Collins-Pratt write, "There is a kind of gentle hospitality with the self that most of us fail to practice. We don't accept the stranger within. We dread the regions of ourselves we don't understand. By learning to value the otherliness of an actual stranger, we honor the mystery within us too. We are all simultaneously stranger, guest, and host, simply seeking a place where we will be welcome and where we can open ourselves to welcome others into our lives. This is why hospitality is such an important spiritual practice, because in a significant way, it's not about the other person. It's really about you." Yet hospitality, and generosity as well, is not just about making nice and being a good person. It is about changing the way you move through the world. It can change your life. This is often why we resist, why we have to be conscious of how we invite people to join us, because it can be so easy to be unconsciously unwelcoming. Hospitality can be downright scary if it is done in a truly radical way. Holman and Pratt write, "When I let a stranger into my heart, I let a new possibility approach me. when I reach past my own ideas, I begin to stretch myself open to the world. And this opening of my heart could change everything. That's pretty frightening stuff. You can't ever be the same if you start doing that kind of thing. Anyone who has been here more than a couple of Sundays will have noticed that we did not introduce our newcomers this morning. Some may be relieved, others alarmed. And counterintuitive as it may seem, I deliberately chose to change the practice on this Sunday when I am preaching about hospitality. For the practice of such public introducing is not as welcoming as it is intended to be. Indeed, for some, it may be intimidating and actually unwelcoming. Now, that may take just a little unpacking. So first, hearken back to the first time you came through these doors. Did you enter a bit tentatively, wondering what this church would be like, knowing what you didn't want, hopeful this might be a place that would welcome your mind and heart, hopeful it could be the community you were seeking, yet fearful that it would be just a new take on an old message, using the language of faith to be exclusive and exclusionary of the mind and heart? Oh, I know how this fellowship hopes to be welcoming to just such people. And yet many do come here tentatively, needing to kind of ease themselves in, to take it slowly, to slip in for the service and slip back out, remaining relatively anonymous for a while. It's not that folks don't want to talk to anyone at all, just to take it slowly on their own terms. Oh, hold on, I wanted to quote something else back here. The paradox of hospitality is that it wants to create emptiness, to create an emptiness, not a fearful emptiness, but a friendly emptiness where strangers can enter and discover themselves as free. A public introducing is particularly hard on introverts, of which I number myself one. The more outgoing don't mind or maybe even really like it. But for shy folk, it can feel like highlighting their newcomer status. A public introduction also gives the impression that everyone else here already knows each other. It actually serves to set the newcomers apart from everyone else. More welcoming is a kind of friendly emptiness that makes room for others, for the newer people to move in. For me, whenever I enter a new space, let me back up, I believe that there are certain parts of our lives that we, at certain points in our lives, we have certain things that just sort of get into our DNA, into our bodies, you know, and we stop our human development. And one of those spots for me was around when I was about 13 or 14. And so whenever I enter a new space, even when I come here on a Sunday morning and I'm just listening to the service rather than preaching it, I stand in the back and instantly become that really nervous adolescent 14-year-old thinking, who will sit with me? No, who's going to like me? I become that 14-year-old, that adolescent again. And I think that that is what can happen for many of us. The newest among us, and the last thing that inner 14-year-old wants to do is stand up and have somebody introduce me. And so this morning, it's not that we didn't greet and say hello to one another, and hello to all among us here, the new and the not so new. The language of the greeting, we'll get into this, is very careful to consider how you do this language of greeting. And so the language we will use is, please turn and greet your neighbors, especially our newcomers or people you don't know very well yet. For many years now, you have been a congregation where there are far too many of you for folks to all know each other. And yet, people still often seem to think that they are supposed to. And people are often afraid of asking, are you new here? And with fear that the person might actually say something like, well, no, I'm not new. I've been coming here for 3 years now. The embarrassment arises from that unspoken assumption that you are supposed to know everybody. But rather than embarrassment, a response to that could be something like, well, then it's about time we met. The assumption that everyone knows each other, or should, is arising in part from a time when you were much smaller and folks did know each other well. And yet that has not been true for a very long time. And the point is not to make an assumption about whether someone is new or old, just you don't know them very well yet, and here's another chance to deepen human connection. Another chance to be truly and graciously welcoming. Welcoming, the other part of this is welcoming does not stop when people are introduced, but the public introduction in subtle ways can actually stop it. For it needs rather to be taken up as a practice of all on a Sunday morning, on Sundays and beyond in this community. As such, it is a holy task for everyone. Welcoming the stranger and the not yet really familiar takes an open-hearted, welcoming attitude, not delegated to official and often unofficial welcomers, but woven into the fabric of the community, this tapestry of love we call community. It means that everyone who has been here a few weeks, a few months, a few years and beyond becomes part of this culture of hospitality. It can become a profound spiritual practice. Indeed, it is a practice in just about every religion in the world, welcoming the stranger. The gracious, graceful, grace-filled practice of welcoming the stranger. For religion speaks to our deeply felt human need to be seen and known and touched and simply loved. Hospitality as a human vocation is heard in all the world's religions. From a Hindu sutra, the husband and wife of the house should not turn away anyone who comes at eating time and asks for food. If food is not available, a place to rest, water for refreshing oneself, a reed mat to lay oneself upon, and pleasing words entertaining the guest, these at least never fail in the houses of the good. From a Winnebago father's precepts, see to it that whoever enters your house obtains something to eat, however little you may have. Such food will be a source of death to you if you withhold it. Yet the call to hospitality is perhaps most vivid in the desert religions. In that harsh environment, failure to offer hospitality to strangers could be a death sentence. Keith Carey of the Global Prayer Digest writes, in desert culture, quote, traditionally a stranger could arrive at the door and expect 3 days hospitality before being asked any questions. Among the Bedouins, whoever sees a stranger coming from afar and exclaims, here comes my guest, has the right to claim him. The host will then prepare a generous meal, even if it means that his family goes without. Thus we have from the Quran, be kind to parents and the near kinsmen and to orphans and to the needy and to the neighbor who is of kin and to the neighbor who is a stranger. and to the companion at your side, and to the traveler. Hospitality is a matter of survival, a humble acknowledgement of our interdependence upon one another. Hospitality is a matter of survival because we need each other. But that is only a part of the religious call to hospitality. This welcoming is not simply for the guest. The stranger brings gifts as well. Gifts that may change us, help us recognize our need for one another. Saint Benedict, founder of the Benedictine Order of Monks, knew this. Guests are crucial to the making of any heart, and so he instructed his monks to welcome the divine stranger. He knew that if you want to be a person of great spirit, you can't do life alone. If spirituality matters to you, you can't do spirituality alone either. To really grow as a human being, you need other people. And in the words of chapter 13 of the letter to the Hebrews in Christian scripture, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And still, this kind of radical, comprehensive, conscious, intentional welcoming still can be a little scary. Start inviting people into this church and it will not be the same. Every time a new person enters the church, every time someone decides officially to join, bringing their enthusiasm and their gifts, their shortcomings and their doubts, it becomes a new community, changed not beyond recognition, perhaps, but changed all the same. So here are a few Sunday morning practices that can help each and every one to become more consciously welcoming. Now, I've read some statistics, and I don't know the source, that say that something like 70 or 80% of Unitarian Universalists are introverts. This sounds about right to me. And if so, again, counting myself among them, if this is so, it does make welcoming and hospitality an interesting proposition for us, doesn't it? In one church I've served, folks tried to make it a practice for the first 3 minutes of coffee hour to talk with the people they didn't know very well yet, resisting the inclination to turn immediately to their friends. And I do think that even the most introverted can usually manage 3 minutes. Another practice could be a moratorium on talking church business for, say, the first 10 minutes of coffee hour. This one even I find challenging. Sunday morning can be the place where you finally see the three people you need to check in with about this particular meeting, about who's going to set up the next Saturday potluck, and so on. Yet turning to your friends and jumping immediately to church business absolutely leaves out newcomers and reinforces to them that everyone really does know each other and can make them wonder if there's a place for them in the community. So let everyone here take up the holy task of hospitality. Let everyone feel it is theirs to make connections. Don't assume that everyone knows each other or is even supposed to. Reach out. Let yourself be a little vulnerable. This is a place that welcomes all. This is your fullest intention. Welcomes all, not based on what you do for a living, how old you are, where you live, what degrees you have mastered or not. Here we welcome the angel inside each of us. We create this place through real human encounters that arise from a hospitality of spirit, that arise when we seek the angel in everyone. So come to this community, knowing that we are all simultaneously guest and host, that we are all a little bit the stranger, no matter how long you've been here. And honor the stranger, the mystery within you, even as you seek to know it in others. Know that if you have been here for a while, you found this place at a time when you were seeking, questioning, wondering, perhaps lonely and lost. Know that you found welcome. You found home here. Reach out your hand consciously, graciously, to those who follow. Hospitality is our human vocation. We seek to find the angels of our own nature, and it can be hard. I suspect most of us don't feel particularly angelic most of the time. Often it is actually much easier to see the angel in others. And yet, may you seek to entertain all the angels in your life. Perhaps if you do, you will see others recognizing the angel in you. And you will see your own angelic nature reflected in their eyes. Hospitality is our human vocation. May it ultimately reveal the angels in us all. Amen. And blessed be.